Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Every Nation Cast for the week of January 23rd, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Good day.
And Joe.
Sure is dangerous here in Bangkok.
I think you used that one before, Joe.
It's timeless.
So I think we got a great show, as usual. We're going to talk about the Oscar nominations that came out and how not excited they are.
Woo!
Resident Evil trailer. I know we're all excited for the next Resident Evil movie. Yeah. And then a whole bunch of other stuff as well. I know I have a ton of show and tell stuff to get to, but why don't we kick it off with Chris? What are you watching for show and tell?
Well, I found some sort of like BBC hole.
Okay.
Where I've been watching Spaced and the IT Crowd.
Okay. I've heard they're both awesome.
Yeah. Spaced is so, like, was ahead of its time, I could say. And it's something that if you love Simon Pegg, you have to watch to see, like, where he all came from. And then just how, like, sharp and witty the story is and the focus of the show. And it's weird because, like, it's a comedy, but it's not one of those things where, like, the first 10 minutes are just weird rambles and then it's, like, little plot. Like, not even, just, like, something would happen, they talk about it, and they move on. It's, like, they focus on one thing, and it's the whole focus of the episode. And I haven't seen too many comedy shows like that in a while. Where, you know, like, in Family Guy or Simpsons, the first 5 minutes of the episode is meaningless compared to, like, the rest of the episode?
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah, so, this, like, it's the opposite. We're, like, the whole episode is so focused on this one important plot, crucial, like, this not crucial plot point, but it's like, oh, like, it keeps the comedy going. Like, it's like they'll it's not milked, I'm trying to say. And IT Crowd's the same thing. I didn't know this, but the IT Crowd was, like, there was an Americanized version of it back in 2005 or 6.
Yeah, it's like two episodes or something.
Not even, I think it was just the pilot.
Yeah.
And Joe McHale was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, it didn't take off, so waited.
I think it might have been, I don't think they ever even aired it.
No, I think it was just a test.
It was like, it's what had the Wonder Woman. It's like, yeah, we're not going to pick that up.
But now I could see they do it, because it's getting so, it's, you know, a very cult classic comedy in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like, slowly it's getting popular.
Yeah.
It definitely was on that, like, The Office bandwagon, I imagine, when it came out, you know, when it was introduced to like, American audiences. And, like, do you want to buy the rights? And they're like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was also, like, I think The American Office was picking up, so everyone was like, we need British shows!
I mean, it's going to be a sad day when I see, like, Americanized Doctor Who, but I'm pretty sure, like, hardcore fans and, like, really creative directors won't allow that to happen, but, you know, there's always a chance. They brought Todd Gear over to America, and no one's watching that.
No.
It's kind of like Euro Disney. We're like, yeah, it's there. No one goes to it.
Since in America.
Yeah. I can't even think of like a Disney-esque park that's from Britain, and they bring it over to America, and no one goes. It's like watch. It's
Jolly
like going
Funland.
To
it's like Blackpool Pleasure Land.
Like Hogwarts, maybe in Universal Studios, but like that's insanely popular.
Yeah, they're like destroying the entire park just to, like, make more Harry Potter.
I know. God damn it! My childhood's being torn up by like a fucking imaginary wizard. IT Crowd is really funny. They know their audience. They know that like nerds and techno people are watching it, technology, like, fans are watching it. And it's a really good pacing. It's six episodes a season. Mm-hmm. There are four seasons, and like by the second season, they kill off a really important character. That's not part of like the main cast, but like, it's like a boss figure, and they kill him off and introduce another guy. And it's like in America, that'll take like three seasons to do, I think, just to kill off like a sort of important figure,
yeah,
and then place him. But like six episodes later, just like dead, and then hey, here's a new guy. And no, that's what I like about the BBC is like they don't waste time on bullshit. They just kind of like the plot progresses really fast.
Yeah, just like it's like four American seasons to like one season.
Right. So it gets to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you're a fan of really weird geek humor and just it's like what if the Big Bang Theory was just like smushed into very six well-written episodes and stuff like that, you know? It's like I think that's the only equivalent I can say, but I don't know. That's like an insult to the IT crowd.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. And to top that off, I started watching The League.
Okay, yeah.
Holy shit. It is like crack again. Like, it's like... I never knew the show it really... Like, I knew it was around. I just never watched it because the concept was like, oh, Fantasy Football League, okay.
Is it but really good?
It is, like, workaholics... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's, like, on that level of comedy that, you know, there's no laugh track. It's all, like...
Steve Ranazzisi is fucking hilarious. So,
it's also got, like, yeah. Nick Kroll and Paul Scheer and a bunch of other people.
Nick Kroll, holy
yeah.
shit.
yeah, funniest. Man, they're all good.
Everyone has their own favorite characters and stuff, and it's, like, I can see why Brian watches it a lot. He tried to give it, for, like, when it first came out and the first two seasons, he, like, really convinced me to watch it, but, like, I know I was too lazy to watch it on, like, Hulu,
mm-hmm.
or, like, stay up and try to find it exactly when it appears on FX. But, like, when you start watching it, it's just, like, it picks up, and you're like, oh, my God. It's really fun. The whole Fantasy Football League, though, it's like a quarter of the plot because all you gotta know is just that like how football plays. Like it, you just need a little sports knowledge to understand why things are happening.
Yeah, but
the rest is just like insane, like coincidence.
And just like getting like just, seeing, like weird like parties and stuff. And like, I heard the one episode where like I guess it's like a high school reunion or something is amazing.
Yes. Oh man. That and the whole point of like the winner, like usually at the end of like a season when you like pick the perfect team and if they go to like the Super Bowl and shit, like they have a trophy system to see like what you would get. Just like you beat the Fantasy Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny. Like I don't want to spoil anything because it gets like progressively funnier and they do remember like it's a, you know, like it's, Like it's almost like the BBC too, where like they focus on like the one point and they stretch it out for the whole episode, so there's no like a filler, you know? It doesn't feel like there's a filler episode. And I think there's like they're on season three now, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So like I don't know, like I'm lazy to watch new shows, but once it's on Netflix mm-hmm. my curiosity takes like the whole of me, I'll watch it.
You usually like next, the little arrows at the bottom. It's like, yep,
yeah,
yep.
It's like, yeah, I could kill another 3 hours. Okay,
dude, I'm so fucking lazy. I don't even want to watch shows on Blu-ray because I'm like, because then I have to like wait for the next disc to come, or like I need to switch discs. Like, come on. I should be able to just not even hit next. I should just let it run out and then autoplay all episodes.
Yeah, I wish there was an option for that. I'm too lazy to even click the next arrow because like.
No, there is. You can autoplay.
Really?
Or at least I know when you watch on a laptop, you can.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Quite. I gotta look into that. I haven't really messed with my Netflix settings since, like, ever. So.
Well, I don't even know that they let you do it anymore, because this was when Netflix used to be, like, you know, friendly and awesome.
Like, it blew my mind when I was watching it on, you know, my computer, and then I looked to the bottom and they had a button for subtitles. It's like, really? They have subtitles? I didn't know. I thought it was like, fuck you, deaf people. Like, it's... Gotta buy the DVDs.
Yep. Sorry, deaf people. You're just gonna have to imagine what's happening. Like, just pretend what they're saying.
There's colors and stuff. There's movement.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's good about all three Konami's I've been watching. Except for actually Space. Space has a lot of weird, like, action sequences just thrown in there.
Yeah.
But IT Crowd, The League, very dialogue heavy. Like, I guess what their comedies are, like, not the average stupid movie, like, TV watcher would get, because it's a very, like, intellectual comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like the writing is well written, the pacing's good, but, like, there's no, like, random, like, muscly guy pop on the screen and, like, talk about sex or anything. You know, there's no...
Or not a lot of, like, pratfalls and, like, people getting hit in the groin and stuff.
Right, yeah, it's definitely not, like, a vaudeville act. It's more like a weird stand-up that slowly, like, the setting changes around them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely like a, not like a Louis either, where it's just, like, weird...
weird depressing. Gazes.
And then, like, a cello plays in the background.
There's a sad clown.
Right. Louis's good, but yeah, like, that comedy is very, like, I can watch once, like, every 2 months, I can watch, like, 3 episodes of Louis and then, like, not watch it for a while.
Yeah, that's, like, the zenith of, like, awkward, horrible comedy.
Right, and it does, it's not, like, the same pacing as, like, what's that show? The guy that made Seinfeld?
Oh, Career Enthusiasm?
Yeah, like, that guy's the king of, like...
Larry David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's a good show. I just wish it was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, dude. I wish all those HBO shows were on Netflix. The day they add The Sopranos is the day that I quit my job. Just, like, take a sabbatical.
I got pregnant. I just gotta watch this.
I'm on a male maternity leave.
Hope yeah, that's mind. That's what I've been up to these days, watching a shitload of episodes of various TV shows that I just never got a watch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Joe, what about you?
Man, I ain't been watching shit. actually, I did catch up with last week's episode of Justified.
Not this week's, though.
I haven't seen last night's. Dude, what a fucking premiere that was, though. God damn.
It was.
That was an ass-kicking episode. I have a feeling like this is going to be a very good season. And the third season's usually like a do-or-die for a show, you know?
Well, especially, like there's a huge hole because, like, they killed Mags. So it's like, that was, like, one of the greatest villains of in TV history. So it's like...
Absolutely.
But I think the new guys are definitely pretty awesome so far. Like, you saw Neil McDonough, who's, like, the, like, weird, like, enforcer from Detroit or something.
Oh, yeah.
But then,
I was like, what the fuck is Quinn doing there? I'm like, am I watching Dexter?
Yeah. But then the second episode...
Strung out?
When you see the second episode, you also see, like, the other main bad guy for the season, which is, like, Clay Williamson, a.k.a. Bubba from mm-hmm. Forrest Gump, as Limehouse.
Oh, wow.
Who's...
Weird.
Like, he has, like, once, like, the last 5 minutes of the episode are dedicated to him. It's, like, one of the tensest things ever are Justified. It's, like, it was, like, a Mags level of, like, him just, like, explaining how he's gonna, teach you a lesson or something. Because, like, one of his guys is, like, screwed up. He's like, all right, son, you ever heard about lie? He's like, he's talking about, like, how, like, it's better if you, like, sometimes better if you, like, threaten a dog with violence instead of, like, actually giving it pain or something. It's like,
mm-hmm.
son, you can put your hand in lie, you can burn your hand off, and then we'll be square. Or you can not put your hand in lie, but next time you fuck up, you can be done.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to be pretty... a major...
We're going to get along just fine.
Yeah. Actually, the preview actually... Like, he was, like, teaming up with Boyd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it did. That's cool. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I love the... Boyd's already, like, off and scheming in, like, the first...
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just, like... threw himself into jail so he could get revenge, which is pretty epic, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so in addition to that, I watched the first UFC event on FX, which was on Friday night, and featured everything action favorite and one-time advertiser for our site, Pat Barry. Fighting Christian Moorcraft in what I believe was the fight of the night.
Yeah,
to be totally honest with you, that was pretty epic. It's really great in my opinion to see a fighter doing exactly what you think they should be doing in terms of their training. And Pat Barry is, you know, bet your bottom dollar that Pat Barry is a world-class kickboxer. You know, so he's got that down. So for him to throw himself into a gym like Death Clutch, which, for those of you who may not know, is Brock Lesnar's gym, it's basically just full of fucking gorillas. Like, Pat Barry, he might be kind of short, but he's basically built like Wolverine, you know? Like, he's a strong fucking dude. And he's the smallest guy there, and probably not the strongest. And they're all wrestlers and, like, jiu-jitsu dudes. So he's basically surrounded by people that are bigger and stronger than him and better at his worst aspects. So that's really the only way to effectively train and, like, overcome, you know, weaknesses and pitfalls in your game. So, you know, lots of credit to Pat Barry for acknowledging that and throwing himself into the fire, so to speak. Because I got to tell you, if you can't take Pat Barry down, you're in for a long fucking night. So I think if he stays there for a little bit, you know, keeps improving his ground game, keeps improving his takedown defense, you know, he's going to make a serious run for the title one day, I think. And, you know, a dream fight for me at this point, and I know it's kind of early, obviously, to be talking about this, but, you know, just as a fan of the giant heavyweights fucking rock'em sock'em roboting each other, I would love to one day see Alistair Overeem against Pat Barry. Even though I don't really think they're in the same league right now, I feel like one day they'll be able to meet, you know, on a pretty similar level. It might not be for a championship, but goddamn, that'd be an entertaining fight. So yeah, that's the UFC minute. So
yeah.
man, and other than that, I am just like trying to catch up on some TV because, you know, work has been pretty crazy for me lately, so I am not up on everything. Like, I still haven't watched Archer. It's just kind of fucking sitting there on my DVR, which I'm really pissed about because I love Archer. but yeah, I gotta do some catching up. I have been watching The Office season 7 though, because it's on Netflix, and I need a new distraction for cardio, and it's been pretty hilarious, I have to say. Like, I mean, some episodes are much better than others, obviously, but God, just the sheer fact that Dwight owns the building is, like, bringing joy to my heart.
Is that last year?
Yeah. I think it was, like, 2 years ago, too.
It was 2010.
Okay, was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think they're on 8 right now.
Yeah, they're in 8 now. I'm not that far behind, fuckers.
You're getting there. You're getting there.
It's all calmed down. And, I also saw 30 Minutes or Less, which, it's definitely... And I'll keep this short and sweet. Has some good moments, has some good lines. I would see anything that has Danny McBride and or Nick Swardson in it. So to have the both of them in it and to have them on screen together so much was like a dream come true for me. you know, was it a great movie? No. Was it a great comedy? Not really. But it's one of those really awesome, like, quotable comedies. Like Talladega Nights. Not Will Ferrell's best movie, but some of the best quotes...
Yeah,
from any of his movies, come out of that movie. So
I thought that movie was good.
Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm not saying I don't like it. I love Talladega Nights, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's the funniest out of, like, the, quote, Will Ferrell movies.
I'd say it's the best Will Ferrell does a weird sport movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which includes, like, Semi-Pro and Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory is actually pretty awesome, too.
I would say it goes Blades of Glory, and then Talladega Nights, and then Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
For me, at least. But, fuck, I love Talladega Nights. I'm not kidding, man. Every time that movie's on, and I've got shit to do, I'll just throw it on in the background, because I fucking love it. So, yeah. Cool movie, though. You know, I guess my expectations were kind of high, just because I am a huge fan of Danny McBride and Nick Swardson. Don't really like Jesse Eisenberg. Not going to try to fake it. I just don't care for him. I feel as though he is the poor man's Michael Cera. And I don't know. Now he's just falling into that same pitfall where he's the same dude in every movie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because I don't know whether or not to think he's Zuckerberg or whether or not to think that he's the kid from Zombieland or the kid from fucking, like, oh, God, what the hell was that like weird romance movie he was in where they worked at the amusement park.
Adventureland?
Adventureland. God damn, that was a piece of shit, huh?
Oh, did not like that at all.
I felt swindled after I saw that movie. You know, like I wanted to send like hate mail to Netflix in my little red envelope and be like, "Dear sir or ma'am, how dare you stock such a terrible movie?"
It's like, how dare this be available to me?
Yeah.
What?
How dare you let me add this to my queue? You're supposed to know what I like.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know me better than I know myself. Like a soulmate, Netflix. Or a creepy stalker.
It's like the person opening is like, "This envelope full of spit."
Yeah. Is that broken glass in here? What? Why would someone do this? Oh, that's Zagami, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's Joe.
Well, if you watch The Social Network and then you watch 30 Minutes or Less, it's kind of like the sweet epilogue to the how, like, Zuckerberg, like, what happened to him later.
Yeah.
He's being bankrupt to be a pizza delivery boy.
Yep, and then he gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Nick Swanson after his fucking failed movie of
leave Bucky Larson alone.
That's Bucky Larson.
That movie looks fucking hilarious. I don't care who knows it. And you know what? When Blockbuster gets their shit together and sends me something in my top 10 and not my bottom 40, I will definitely let you know how that movie goes. Mm-hmm. Not expecting great things from it, but I love me some Nick Swardson.
Okay.
So y'all hook is can suck it. But that'll basically do it for me.
Okay.
Oh, and then I was talking about this before the podcast. You know you have an ass-kicking girlfriend when it's 2 in the morning and you're trying to fall asleep, and then you hear her say, "Ooh, Kindergarten Cop," and then you proceed to watch 7/8 of Kindergarten Cop with her. That was an excellent experience for me because I haven't seen that movie in a long-ass time, and I was, like, just tired enough to be, like, totally unopposed to it, but just awake enough to be totally into it, like, when it was happening.
So, kind of like date rape?
Kind of like date rape, Chris. Mm. Kind of like it. But I would say without, like, a good quality roofie, probably just something that made them really complacent. So they're not, like, totally knocked out with no memory. But they're like, "Oh, man, I got raped last night, didn't I? Yeah, that was rough." Well, time to repress this.
Oh.
But one thing I will say about Kindergarten Cop is that the bad guy in it, like, they hype him up so much. Like, they gave him so many, like, dramatic lines and, like, there's just so
his bad boy hairdo? He had a fucking weird mullet,
like,
thing.
He had the 1994 Clark Kent haircut, where it was, like, normal Clark Kent hair and then it had, like, a rat tail on the back. But, yeah, dude, I think that they wanted him to, like, go on and be something. Like, yeah, this guy's gonna be huge. And, like, nothing. Kind of like, Bennett from Commando.
Like, I don't know if that guy's saying anything.
Yeah, man. He's going to go on to do great things. He's going to be a classic all-time villain. And his IMDb profile, Commando. Commando.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, the 1/8 you missed was that weird bathroom fight sequence with a ferret and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, right? I saw that. We came in, like, 6 minutes into the movie.
Ah.
Like, well, not like 6 minutes. We came in like 12 minutes into the movie, something like that. It was like, we missed like the first part of like Arnold being a cop and like kicking ass.
It's like,
and then it was just kind of like,
the trick.
It's like, "You have to be kidding me. You are supposed to be the kindergarten teacher." It's like, "Oh, this is my like cousin, or this is my sister, like Helga or whatever."
Wait, why? I forgot the like, the woman that he changes places with, she's like that, like she has like her leg broken, and then
yeah, she gets like fucked up in a fight.
Yeah, no, like, she gets hit by a car because the
Yeah. What the hell am I saying? Yeah, the dude's mom, the bad dude's like mom. Hits her with
the
car.
She has more of an acting career than the actual bad dude, if you think about it.
She really does.
Oh well,
it's rough shit, man. Not gonna lie. Good shit, but rough shit. And that's going to do it for me.
All right.
How about you, Zach?
So, just quick TV. I actually saw Archer first episode.
Nice.
It was amazing. It was like, Burt Reynolds was just like, perfectly like edited to the cast.
I can't wait.
And I think, Like, one of my favorite things is just, like, they're just, like, super obscure, just, like, like, Burt Reynolds, just, like, a rant that they go on. Like, there's, like, a whole, like, 10-minute sequence of, like, Archer, like, writing the third movie in the Gator trilogy.
Well, he's obsessed with Gator if you see season two.
Yeah.
He fucking loves the Gator.
There's, like, I think, like, is it the second episode where it's just a total tribute to Gator?
It basically is Gator, but, like, with the cast of Archer.
Yeah. But it's, like, it's like, Bert, you gotta complete the Gator trilogy. And then it's, like, last scene is, like, that, like, Bert is, like, driving, like, Archer's car, and, like, because they're in, like, this high-speed chase, because there's, like, a human hit squad coming and, like, trying to kill Archer.
I love
and then, like, after, like, everyone else in, like, Krieger's van. Krieger's rape van. Yeah, it was great. And then Justified, like we said. Oh, one thing about Justified I just want to add is, like, I love the, in the first episode, the weird, like, the hitman guy, Ice Pick. Do you remember him, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like he was like sort of like evil. He was like evil Raylan kind of. Cause he was like the weird like alternate Raylan. Cause he had like the
alternate hat. Yeah, like, he's like, I like your hat.
He had like the douchebag fedora and like, but he was also like awesome with guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And he also had like a weird like Anton Chigurh thing going on with like his weird like, all right, I'm gonna put the gun between us, and then whoever gets it first gets to shoot you.
That was fucking awesome.
It was, yeah.
That was great.
Especially,
I was like, oh boy.
Especially how Raylan solves it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And it's so funny because, like, I don't know why, but I found myself, like, thinking in, like, Southern talk. I was like, oh boy. Raylan sure is in a pickle right about now. Then he did that, and I was like, hooey. That Raylan's crazier than a pet coon.
I'm going to get some moonshine.
Yeah, basically. Dunk, diddly, dunk, dunk, dunk,
dunk. And then, also, I finally got to watch season two of Luther because, like, it came magically back on demand, and like BBC and America on demand. Oh. I was a little disappointed with it just because I
what?
Yeah, I liked.
Shame.
I thought the first season's way better. But
in the terms of like a really weird turning points, yes, but. The villain.
Yeah, I like the villains of the season two. Cause you had the weird, like the crap. Who's the first? What was the quirk with the first guy? Like it was the first episodes was like one guy, and the last two episodes was the dice guys, like dice brothers.
Shit, who the hell? Yeah, the dice brothers. But like, who the hell was the villain in the? Oh no, the villain in the first one was the like mob, I think.
Well, that was like right? Sort of the overarching thing, which I could not care less about that.
What?
Like
he wanted to help the porn star.
Yeah, like that was so, like, and then they, like I think it was just because they got rid of Alice, like she just like left.
Well, she's on holiday.
Yeah, so it's just like bringing this like completely uninteresting porn girl.
And yeah, who the hell was the villain of the first episode? Like the serial killer.
I know he kidnapped was it Ripley? Like it,
oh, the attention dude. The attention.
Oh yeah, he wore the Punch and Judy mask and just like went around like, I'm going to be the next Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, he really wanted to celebrate British history by being like a horrible monster that you can't see in the dark. It made everyone panic, and no, that was a really good one.
Yeah,
like, that was good. It just he's not memorable because it's funny because that was his weakness and they even forgot him. He got weak, and the more you like remember him, the stronger he got. Mm. So yeah,
the actual cases were good. I just like the overarching story was not as good as the first season.
Well, because you know Luther, he didn't have that like wife issue anymore. Like his life was bad, but it wasn't like interfered by a woman until the porn star showed up, and she was just like, "I don't want to hang out with my mom." And Luther's like, "Get the hell out of here!"
I wasn't ever her mom owed money to the mob or something, or like I don't know what the hell was going on with it.
I think her mom used to be like really good friends with Luther at one point because Luther's past is still like a mystery.
Well,
so
Pornstar's dad murdered people and then like Luther arrested him, but then like a dad like killed himself.
Yeah, and they blame the murder on Luther.
Yeah.
For some strange reason, that's what makes him feel guilty about her life. It's weird, and it kind of makes sense, but it's very British.
Yeah.
If you think about it, just like, oh, some old-fashioned British guilt. Okay, I guess that will help. But the Dice Twins, though, those guys are
fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. I like how they decide things by the rule book, and then they roll dice, and they're just like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll use this.
Just get murdered like an entire office with a fucking hammer. I'm just gonna kill this entire train station with a hammer.
Well, then again, no one in Britain has guns that we learn. But then, like, the first season showed us that everyone has guns.
Yeah.
Silly. And the second season shows, no, everyone has, like, hammers and pipes and, like, sometimes a vat of acid.
Yeah. You're not supposed to have guns. No, we have, like, a squirt gun full of acid.
But still, like, where is he keeping the rest of it?
I don't know. In a backpack.
What kind of squirt gun can hold acid?
Yeah.
You put acid in a super soaker, you have a pile of plastic. You don't...
Maybe it's British plastic, maybe it looks more better made or something.
Yeah, this industry standards there are durable as fuck.
Yeah.
But, still, like, it's a very well paced. It's only like 4 episodes, so.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, it's still an awesome show. It's just like, season 2 was a little step down for me from season 1.
Well, there's no, like, him complaining about his wife and hanging out with, like, his wife's lover.
Yeah, he was just like, he's like, showed up and, like, he'd, like, babysit this porn girl for, like an episode or two, and then, like, he just, like, disappeared too.
Yeah. Well, it's like, death always follows Luther, so it's best that he doesn't hang out with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt weird when I thought it was really unnecessary with that other character, the, like, the PC that really did her job well, like, by the books.
Oh, yeah, she was stupid, too.
Yeah. I couldn't tell, like, she's like, I know I'm black and I'm a woman. I'm like, oh, God, not this.
I worked really hard to get here, sir.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm black, too, so you can't use that excuse. And she's like, well, but, and he's like, yeah, okay.
Just do your fucking job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's TV. And then for movies, I started finally watching my Mission Impossible Blu-rays, so I watched the first one again.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's still awesome. The technology is so outdated in that movie, though. It's like,
hilarious. Like floppy disk. It's like
floppy disk and, like, surfing Usenet groups. To, like AOL, it's like one step up from, like, AOL search or, like, groups or something, like AOL pages. Of like,
it's like a weird Craigslist, like old school Craigslist.
It's like
it's like one of those found footage commercials where it's like, you mean I can use America Online to check my internet emails?
Well, it's like bulletin boards.
Nice.
So it's like I'm like the Bible bulletin board.
Nice.
But like completely non-logical like email addresses of like send it to this at Job 3:14. It's like that's going nowhere, Ethan.
Dude, they should have had it like it really used to be, where it's like relevant post, hey, anyone want to fuck? Relevant post, relevant
should
post,
have been like
dick pic,
should have
relevant been post, where can I buy weed? Who has tits? Like, goddamn, the internet is a horrible place.
Yeah, should have been like Geocities/Town Square.
Angel Fire.
Yeah,
and I even remember in the movie, like, their internet was insanely fast at the time. And, like, they were doing, like, mobile laptop internet, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that would have been ass slow. Like, back then, LAN internet was slow. I can't imagine what mobile internet was like, either.
Yeah, it's like, you were on fucking modem, your dial-up modems.
And, do you remember, I remember that like, weird scene where he uses the Bible to like, figure out the cipher.
Yeah, it's like, wait, the Bible? And also, I love, like, the scene where, like, he's, like, making, like, his, to, like, trick Jean Reno into, like, thinking he has, like, the wrong disc. He's just, like, doing, like, the crazy, like, sleight of hand magic. You guys remember that?
Oh.
Where he's, like...
It's like, after the post-fireman thing?
Yeah, after they steal the disc from the Langley, he's, like, wait, you mean this disc? And he's, like, moving his hands around, like, doing, like, crazy magic and making, like, his strategy is to, like, make Jean Reno look like an asshole. To, like, make him, like, think he has the wrong disc.
Well, because he's like, well, I forgot why he's like, I want the disc or something.
Because they're going to get paid, like, $10 million for it or something, so.
And he's like, I want to hold on to it? Or he didn't? I forgot why.
Because he's a mercenary who wants money, so he wants to make sure like he's getting his money's worth. And maybe backstab all them, which we know is true.
Which, you know, he does, yeah. But all because he figures out because he uses the same knife all the time.
Yeah.
He, like, bought a set.
Which, because he left it behind in Prague, and then, like, he has a new one and he loses that one, too.
Yeah.
He must have got, like, a deal on them or something.
I don't know. And then it turns out he's a helicopter pilot for no reason, which, like, I don't remember his dossier ever saying, but all right.
I think it's still awesome that Ving Rhames is, like, the master hacker. Instead of, like, a weapons expert or something, he's just like, yeah, I'm the hacker.
Does he ever use that ability again in the second movie?
His hacking?
Yeah.
I don't think he uses it, because I don't think he really shows up in the second one, because it's all just, like, Ethan doing, like, crazy Street Fighter kicks to doves and stuff, and, like...
No, the second one, he, like, rides in a helicopter.
Yeah.
And third one
is, like, in the van with, like, his crazy, like, remote guns. Like, he's controlling, like, all the remote control machine guns.
Right. That's all I remember of him, really. Oh, well.
Yeah, so hopefully sometime we'll watch 2 and 3 again. And then, actually, caught a couple of more recent movies. I watched Contraband.
It's February movies.
Well, January.
January to February.
Yeah, movie. Contraband is definitely a January movie. Like, it's not very good.
Well, I could probably sum up from the trailer. Someone from his past comes, tells him to do a job, or else they will take his girlfriend/wife, and he does it, and something goes wrong,
yep.
And he has to go get his wife back, or girlfriend. That's all I can imagine. I think I can tell that from the poster. I don't even need to, like, watch the trailer.
Yeah. It's cliche. It's super, it's like cliche, like, heist movie 101 of, like, you can predict plots, like, the plot points coming up. It's like, of course, like, something is going to go wrong with the plot of their scheme, so they have to, like, improvise, and, like, of course, one of the Mark Wahlberg's crew is going to be a traitor.
I feel like, I think once you make the fighter, there should be a rule that you can't make, like, generic heist movie.
They have it all the time, though, Chris. It's like, you get nominated or you win an Oscar, and then it's just like, all right, I'm just going to make Stealth or something. It's like Jamie Foxx won the Oscar for Ray, and then, like, or the winner get nominated.
I think he nominated.
So then next movie he makes, Stealth. Or it's like
At least he died halfway through Stealth.
Or it's like Helen Mirren won for The Queen, and then her next movie is fucking National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
She's in that?
Yeah, she's like Nicolas Cage's mom, who's like, got divorced, like, went back to England or something, and she's, like, weird, like, medieval historian or something.
So I didn't watch Book of Secrets, so I gotta...
But then you have to team up for some reason, again.
I forgot about the mom character, because, you know, in the first movie, they never talk about her, ever.
I think they said, like, she left or something. Anyway, Contraband, it's, I mean, nothing too exciting. There's not even a lot of action in it. There's only, like, one kind of cool action sequence where, like, they get roped into, like, this armored car robbery for some reason.
Cool.
So it was, like, a quick shootout and stuff. And then it's, like, you got, like, Giovanni Ribisi is there as the bad guy with, like, the craziest Cajun accent you have ever heard in your entire life.
What? Why even give him a Cajun?
Because it's in it's New Orleans for like half the movie and like Panama for half the movie.
Because, you know, New Orleans needs hype.
Yeah. So he's just like, "You're gonna go do this job for me, boy, or I'm gonna kill your wife." It's for the whole movie, like doing that. So you can never take him seriously, and then it's like. J.K. Simmons is also, like, it's more subtle, but he's also, like, doing a weird Cajun accent. And he's also, like, super, like, mellow, like, and, like, calm. It's, like, which is, like, what you don't want J.K. Simmons to be.
No, I'm like, loud or I'm, like, yelling at prison rape in Oz.
Yelling like a machine gun at people. And, I don't know. It's just, apparently it's super easy to become, like, when they plot to, like, Mark Wahlberg has to, like, sneak his way onto, like, the, a merchant ship to, like, make his way down to Panama. Because that's where, like, he's picking up, like, a load of, like, counterfeit bills, and he's, like, transport them back to New Orleans and sell them. Which is, like, his biggest, like, smuggling job he's doing.
It is, like, his last one, too.
Yeah, because his brother-in-law fucked up a, like, a drug smuggling job for Giovanni Ribisi, so, like, he's, like, in debt now. So, like, Mark Wahlberg has to, like, go and, like, help him get out of debt.
But see, it's really funny. I think I saw a comparison to this in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, it is basically the same movie. And it's also weird because, like, Giovanni Ribisi was the brother that needed help.
Right. It's kind of seem like it pretty much is like, hey, I've been in a movie like this before.
Yeah. And also, like, the other weird thing is, like, so it follows all, like, all the cliches of, like, the plot. It also doesn't follow the cliche of, like, having, like wacky, like, heist, like, crew members. They're all, like, just, like, super boring, like, heist members. Or crew members. They don't, like, none of them have, like, any, like, speciality or anything. It's just, like, hey, we're this crew on this boat.
Hmm. So, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have crew on boat skills.
There's not even, like, the tech guy or the muscle guy or whatever. It's just, like, hey, I'm also the cook on this boat. We're going to go steal some money, I guess. So I would...
This doesn't seem like a very well thought out plan. It's not just go with it.
Okay. Well, you see, a movie like Contraband, I expect a movie about like a bunch of Chinese pirates, you know, copying games and selling DVDs on the street. Like, that's Contraband.
Yeah. So I would say... maybe rent it when it comes out, if you're, like, a huge Mark Wahlberg fan. I mean, Mark Wahlberg, like, there's even, like, a better, like, heist movie with Mark Wahlberg in it, which is, like, the new Italian Job. So.
Oh, wait a minute. And he's also kind of Italian. Oh.
So, yeah, that's definitely, like, if it came out any other time besides January, it probably would be out of its league completely.
Hey, wasn't there a sequel to the Italian Job? Were they thinking about it?
You know, like, the Brazilian Job?
Yeah, so like, and that's been like
talking about the
development
like,
count.
Yeah, so. At least a couple, like at least I've heard about like 3 or 4 years, I think.
And like everyone that's involved in that movie is like a superstar. Like Jason Statham was in the Italian Job.
Yeah, that was like like Transporter and stuff.
Yeah.
So. It wasn't like Don Cheadle in that movie. No, that Don Cheadle was in Oceans. Oh no, it was Most Deaf.
Most Deaf was in
Italian Job, and Seth Green.
Well, Seth Green, yeah, but Most Deaf.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
So, slightly better than Contraband is Haywire.
Ooh.
Mm. Not mind-blowing, but it's pretty good.
Is it worth to see what's-his-face get punched in the face?
Michael Fassbender?
No.
Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor's in it?
Yeah.
No. Oh, what's his
face? Antonio Banderas? Michael Douglas?
Gina Carano?
The dude from Step It Up and G.I. Joe?
Oh, Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum. Isn't he in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets his ass kicked in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Because I remember that was in the trailer, and it's like, Channing Tatum, and it's like him getting punched by like a beefy chick. I'm like, okay, you know, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I would say, like, the best part of the movie is, like, easily the fight scenes. Like, they're all fucking awesome and super, like, brutal. Especially, like the Gina Carano versus Michael Fassbender fight. It's just, like, they destroy an entire hotel room.
He doesn't use magnetism?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
He has, like...
Magneto, what happened?
He does, like... I think he starts, like, strangling with, like, a lamp cord or something, and she, like, smashes a vase in his face and, like, kicks him through a door.
Awesome.
But yeah, and then, like, Fassbender's awesome, as always, in it. He's, like, this, like, assassin that gets, like, hired to kill Gina Carano. Because, well, it's, like, this, like, it's way more complicated than it should be, but, like, basically, like, she wants to leave her, like, government... She works for a government, like... contractor / mercenary team, and she wants to like leave, so like, but then like they want like, since she's leaving, they want like blame like this like cover up on her, which like there's like this like they made like this like back alley deal with like, Ewan McGregor's like the head of the company. He's like, hey, you could frame her and for this murder, and then we'll all get paid a bunch of money by this shady guy.
And the shady guy turns out Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. And then some other, okay. Then some other like French dude.
But like, I feel like that's what Red was about too, right?
Kinda. So this movie feels like Steven Soderbergh accidentally got like a Steven Seagal or like Dolph Lundgren movie at his desk, like the script for it. And he was like,
yeah, I could see Steven Seagal being like a guy who wants to get out of the CIA for some kind of reason.
Yeah, and like if it just had like some normal, like it would have been like a straightforward just like, oh, my superiors betrayed me, I'm gonna go kill that movie. But like, cause it's like Steven Soderbergh, it's like he tries to make him like more complicated than it really is. But like he does like Christopher Nolan style like out of order storytelling in the beginning for like the first hour.
Oh, so that's way too much to like for an hour worth of jumbled storytelling.
Yeah, well, Jesus. it keeps like Gina Carano's like in like diner, and then she like meets like she like borrows this kid's car and like takes him with her. And she's like telling him like everything that happened up to that point, and she's like keep like flashing back like what happened up to that point.
I can see how it's a little different, but it's kind of weird when it's like someone telling you the story and it's like an action movie. And it's like, well, no matter what happens, you know she gets away during those scenes. Sort of like,
yeah,
you know, there's no sense of danger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a woman retelling you her day up until that point.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my god, I almost died. Like, okay, well, you did it, because you're here.
But, I don't know. Gina Carano is actually surprisingly decent, acting-wise. Like,
okay, her only career is, like, MMA fighting and being a gladiator.
Yeah.
And being, like, and Command and Conquer 4.
Yeah, I mean, she's not, like, delivering, like, monologues or anything, but she's, like, able to, like, give her lines convincingly and stuff. So, and you believe she can like she's like this weird, crazy, badass government agent thing.
No, she knows. She looks like she can buy some curls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
dude, have you ever seen a Gina Carano fight?
Not really.
Yeah, she could probably kick the shit out of most dudes, you know, and their dads.
Yeah,
and their toughest friend.
she looks
she doesn't
like
fucking play, dude.
Yeah, she looks like a very angry Guidette, but I don't know. I kind of like if it's a fighter chick. I want her like really grizzly looking, and like and someone that like I wouldn't want to party with. Someone
you need a Google Images, Cyborg Santos.
No, see that's what I mean. She is she's a beast, and I've seen her like that knockout that she delivered. But like that's a chick that like I wouldn't want to fuck with.
Yeah,
because she looked like it, you know. The aura comes off. Gina Carano looks like she pampers herself at least once a month. But Cyborg, no. Cyborg, I feel like she like
she's like bathes in blood or something.
Yeah, she just like rips open a deer.
Yeah,
she's, like, bathes it. But yes.
Yeah, the thing is that Cyborg didn't always used to look like that. Like she used to look kind of like a strong girl. But now she looks like fucking... I think Joe Rogan said it best. He said that she looks like a shaved, like, angry chimpanzee.
She's and got a really weird kind of, jawline now.
Yeah.
So, I feel like that kind of really helps her. See, Gina Carano looks too, like, smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a fighter, don't get me wrong, but, like, she doesn't
right,
look like
she's still a woman. She's got that, like, estrogen puffiness, if that makes any sense.
But Cyborg Santos, no.
Yeah.
He's got cut lines that, like, certain men don't even have.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch looks like she was chiseled out of granite. Well, that's what 4-hydroxytestosterone will do to a woman. It's a very powerful steroidal agent that's used for drying. That's why you see all those goddamn lines. There's a really great picture, actually, speaking of Gina Carano, and it's not great because I'm a big Gina Carano fan, but there's a picture of Cyborg just fucking... She has, like, one hand on the side of her face. And the other hand is punching the fuck out of her face. Like, it basically looks like a fucking 1970s, like, women in prison movie. It's pretty it's pretty brutal. And they both got cornrows, so it looks like a ghetto fight. Like, on it looks tape like, at like a fucking like Compton McDonald's.
At a fucking like, it looks like the midnight shift at McDonald's, or it looks like a trailer park fight.
It's fucking ghetto girls caught on tape. And the best part about the picture is that Cyborg has Chris Cyborg tattooed on the forearm that's punching her in the face. So it's kind of like, ma'am, is this you punching this woman in the face in this picture? No, it's not. Okay, well, it's got your name tattooed on its arm. Pretty sure that's you.
This is like security footage at like a bar fight.
Yeah, yeah, basically. It's good shit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Haywire. great fights. Okay plot. The weird thing is, like, the script is, like, super flat.
Really?
It's just like, yeah, it's just like everyone is just, like, saying, like, the most obvious, like, there's no, like, there's no flavor, there's no, like, spy flavor to it. It's just like, everyone's just like, hey, I got this job for you. All right. Here, it's in this city. Go there. It's also like, none of the other, like, besides, like, Fassbender and Gina Carano, it's just like, you could, like, rotate the entire cast into, like, all the different roles, and, like, the movie would still go the same way. Like, you could flip-flop, like, Ewan McGregor for Michael Douglas, and it'd still be the same movie. But, I mean, it's okay.
Like, I think people are surprised how well it was, because they're probably thinking it should belong in the direct-to-DVD bin, but I guess it's, like, catching people off guard how well, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's playing all to its strengths. It's not trying anything new, so...
I think people, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, Soderbergh, like, oh, man, Steven Soderbergh. That must be good, then. yeah, I'd say it's, like, if you're want to, like, see a decent action movie, it's, like, Matinee, probably, or Wait for a Rent.
Yeah, it definitely was a good rental.
Yeah.
If it's on Netflix, I'll watch it. Maybe Redbox if I'm, like, really want to watch a chick beat up Channing Tatum.
Oh, you do. Yeah, but I'm hoping The Gray is actually like the first like awesome movie of the year, because like everyone was okay, Contraband wasn't. I'm hoping The Gray is just like, yeah, maybe he's just punching that wolf in the face with beer bottles. All right, so that's pretty much all I've been watching for the past week. So I'm gonna get into news, and I think probably the biggest news from this week was that the Oscar nominations came out.
Ooh.
Yes, they were about as, like, safe and conservative as they could possibly be, I think.
Bastards.
So let's go through, like, the big five, which is, like, picture, actor, director, animated. Actually, animated is probably the most interesting category. Because you have Rango, Puss in Boots, Kung Fu Panda 2, and then two, like, French movies no one's ever heard of. A Cat in Paris and Chico and Rita.
Like, yeah, those sound pretty movies. French.
Yeah.
Those are French.
Yep. So, yeah, so it's like Cars 2 was apparently the equivalent of like two weird French movies or something, or like Pixar's. Because they're like.
Well, to be fair, like, who actually enjoyed Cars 2 here?
Well, no one. The world hated Cars 2. But yeah, apparently like a Pixar movie is like the equivalent of like two weird French animated movies.
That's fine.
So I would say like Rango is definitely my pick for animated movie.
Yeah, I could see how that fits in. And plus it's like it had a good mix of adult humor and kids comedy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like Kung Fu Panda 2 and like Puss in Boots, I don't know if they're like, they were sort of like mixed reviews from critics and stuff. I think Puss did a little better than Kung Fu Panda.
Did?
Yeah, I think...
honestly, people Puss in Boots have its own cartoon series, let me tell you that.
Well, I think Puss in Boots, like, people liked it more than Kung Fu Panda 2.
Goddamn racist.
Antonio Banderas, man. So, next category, Best Actress in a Leading Role. We have Glenn Close and Albert Nobbs. Never heard of it.
I you don't remember this? It's her dressed up as a dude.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A girl. It's yep. A girl that dresses like a dude. And it's like, she, for years, she lied about being a man, and so they try to set her up with a woman.
Yeah. It's like weird dramatic Tootsie.
Yeah. It's all Victorian,
reverse
like,
Tootsie.
Guilt. Yeah, it's that.
We have Viola Davis for The Help. Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady. And then Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn. Yeah, that's the appropriate response, yeah.
I'm all for female empowerment, but I feel like movies about women that either lie that they're women, lie about their role, have, like, weird influence over a country, like Meryl Streep and Iron Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then, My Week in Marilyn? Like, I don't know. Like, I would say that, because when's the last time you had a Marilyn Monroe movie? It's like, it's been 20 years.
Probably.
The last one I remember is I Love You, Norma Jean. I think Ashley Judd was Marilyn Monroe. Well, that's the only one I remember. So.
I think Meryl Streep's probably the odds-on favorite, though, just because it's like, it's British biopic.
Yeah, those work well with like an older generation, though.
Yeah. Although Viola Davis, I think a lot of people were like, when The Pale came out, they're like, oh man, this is best actress.
Oh man, the 60s was a racist fucking time.
Yeah. So, best actor, we have Damien Bichir in A Better Life, George Clooney in Descendants, Jean Dujardin in The Artist, Gary Oldman in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and Brad Pitt in Moneyball.
I'm with the Oldman.
Yeah, I heard Gary Oldman's amazing in that movie. I haven't seen it yet, though. I know a lot of people are like, George Clooney is like is the favorite, I think.
Well, he's not stealing money from casinos anymore, so.
You're not interested?
Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah. Or killing vampires in a.
Dude, he should reprise the Gecko Brothers.
They should.
Oh my god.
Even though Quentin Tarantino is dead.
You can have a third brother. I don't mind if like, they just.
Isn't like, or like, maybe like him and the kids just like going around.
No, it was Juliet Lewis.
Yeah.
And she's, like, a woman now. They can do a flashback where it's, like, you know, a prior crime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but.
So, best actress in a supporting role, we have Berenice Bejo in The Artist, Jessica Chastain in The Help, Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids, Janet McTeer in Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer in The Help.
I don't know.
Melissa McCarthy's kind of crazy.
I don't watch Bridesmaids yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Nor I.
We are horrible people, apparently.
Yeah, apparently we're not Oscar-worthy viewers all the time.
Mm-hmm. Best actor in a supporting role? There's Kenneth Branagh in My Week with Marilyn, Jonah Hill in Moneyball, Nick Nolte in Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I'd just give it to Max von Sydow because he's old. Just give it to him.
I think that's, like, I know a lot of people were saying,
because
like...
Because he's old.
I know a lot of people were saying, like, that's, like, pretty much the only reason. I don't think he's won an Oscar yet. So, like, people were like, saying, like, that's probably, like, the reason he got nominated. Like, I know a lot of people were, like, super pissed off that Albert Brooks wasn't nominated for Drive. Which, yeah, he was amazing. I'm just talking about the dude, because he was amazing in that movie.
I liked him better in the Simpsons movie.
It's like generic Albert Brooks Simpson character.
No, I think he was the evil guy.
Yeah.
I know. He was the evil Ipa.
He will never top Hank Scorpio. Yeah, you guys definitely need to see Drive. It's out next week.
Oh, I know.
Put it at the top of your queues. Best director, we have, I don't even know if I could, Mikkel Hazavanicius for The Artist, Alexander Payne for The Descendants, Martin Scorsese for Hugo, Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris, and Terrence Malick for Tree of Life.
What happened to the Tree of Life? I forgot that movie, like, was made.
It just came out in, like, weird art movie, like, movie theaters, and then, like, it's on DVD now.
I totally forgot Brad Pitt was
I heard there's dinosaurs in it.
Right.
It's the only thing I know. It's, like, space, it's, like, weird, like, Hubble Space Telescope footage, and they're like, hey, there's dinosaurs. And then, like, Brad Pitt is, like, a horrible father, apparently, that beats his kid.
And then, like, well, he beats this kid, and then he teaches him, like, a moral lesson at the end.
It's just, like, weird, like, it's just, like, it's a dream. It's, like, memories in a movie. And then for Best Picture, we have 9 nominees this year. The Artist, Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, Tree of Life, and War Horse. I would have liked to see Drive get nominated.
I didn't see any of those movies.
I didn't see any of those movies either.
I don't know. Maybe a War Horse, because the idea of a horse like comically living through World War One. I think that that is just come on.
Like yeah, I don't even know. Like none of those movies are like yeah.
Well, Zach, do you remember Zach sent me a link to a review of Incredibly Loud and Extremely Close. Was it by the AV Club?
The AV Club where they gave it an F and just said it was like...
Oh my god, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm like, this is going to win an Oscar? Seriously, this?
Yeah, the movie got 50% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, half the people hate it.
Well, I mean, it's because like younger people
Drive is like, Drive is like it. Drive is like 90% fresh.
Muppet movie is like 90% fresh too.
Yeah. Right? Oh, hey, speaking of that, like, that's also a weird category. Like, best original song, there's two nominees. It's Muppet or a Man from Muppets, and then some song from Rio.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, so.
Only two new songs this whole year.
So congratulations, Muppets, for winning that one, because no one even knows what the hell song was in Rio, let alone that Rio came out last year, so.
Yeah, I don't know the sound. I don't own the soundtrack to Rio, so I don't even know.
No. But yeah, so not anything really to get excited about for Oscars.
Woo! 2010.
Which is why we have the Kick-Ass Awards.
Yeah, really. To point out the things that really matter.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender will be nominated. I know a lot of people were saying that she got nominated for that movie Shame.
Yeah, because it's supposed to like put sex addiction to like a real perspective.
Yeah,
but now because I watched The League, they have an episode that deals with that
sex
addiction, and it's sex addiction, but it's fucking hilarious. It's not like the South Park of like, ooh, the sex addiction goes
like Californication,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like you get to bang hot chicks all the time.
Right, that seems like positive sex addiction.
Yeah.
Like, there's an episode where they have a character who's, like, a really big sex addict, and it's not, like, it's all based on triggers,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, it's, like, his triggers are really fucking weird. They're based on, like, shapes and, like, fruit and, like, really weird fetishes that just start up. So, like, the thing is that could actually happen to real sex addicts. I don't personally know anyone. I don't believe it's an actual real problem like that, but Shane puts in a weird like madman style guilt of like,
yeah,
this dude like juggling his sex addiction and like his rich lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you need to have money to be a sex addict.
Yeah,
you know, I don't feel bad for like rich sex addicts. That's kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm. I heard this part in Shane where like he has to like throw out his work computer because it's like it's just so infected with like porn viruses and shit. just like he fully shuts down, like he can't even use the computer anymore.
Well, I just remember like certain the trailer was like him meeting hooking up with all these people, and then like his sister like questioning what he's doing with his life. And
yeah,
I'm like, okay, I guess that's kind of cool. But then it's like they're all kind of rich white people. So I'm like, I don't feel that bad now.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Michael Fassbender definitely one of the top nominees for Ass Kicker of the Year for Magneto.
Oh, yes. He pulled a submarine.
Mm-hmm. And then used, like, anchors as, like, a giant sea monster to destroy this a cruise ship. So also Drive will definitely be nominated for something or win some weird award that we've come up with.
I guess, like, the retro look, because Ryan Gosling looks like he belongs in the 50s, but some strange reason he's, like, in our time.
Well, it's like weird, like, the style of that movie is, like, 80s, but I guess it takes place now.
Or, like, guess how long Ron Perlman lives?
He lasts a surprisingly long time in that movie.
Wow.
Anyway, other news from last week, besides Oscar nominations, the trailer for Resident Evil Retribution came out.
Ugh.
The fifth Resident Evil movie. Which, you watch this, Chris?
Yep.
The 30-second Sony commercial that had nothing to do with anything.
I thought that was pretty... That's creative, because it's Sony can abuse their own products, but then...
That was so... it's just, like, the weakest, like, segue into, like, Resident Evil ever. It's just, like, imagine what will happen with technology in our world tomorrow.
I was watching a YouTube clip of that, and I really thought it was one of those, like, advertisements that you had to skip.
YouTube advertisements, yeah.
And I was like, God damn it! And it's like, oh, I like that. That's why it caught me off guard the first time, but, like, after that, if I don't watch that clip again, like, it better not be like that.
And then, like, they also, like, fucking rip off the Tron Legacy score.
Yes.
For music. Which is, like, completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I thought, like... I was like, when I heard, like, the bass line, or, like,
dum,
that...
Dum, dum, dum,
right,
dum.
Right, I was like, nah, it can't be the same song. And then it built up to that, like, drum beat thing. I was like, what?
Where... No. Sue them Daft Punk.
I thought, like, the world was shit. How is there still, like, a White House and, like, all these things happening?
I don't know. It's just, like... Didn't she go to, like, Umbrella and, like, the last one and stuff? And, like, killed Wesker or something, and...
She went to, like, Japan or something.
Yeah.
And then...
There was, like, she had, like, an army of, like, Alice clones with her and stuff, and they, like, infiltrated Umbrella.
That was in the beginning, and then they all died except for one Alice clone.
Yeah.
And then, like, they took on Wesker at his headquarters, his second headquarters, mm-hmm. and then... And, like, then they introduced Jill. She came back, and she's got, like, mind control, and there's, like, an extra set of soldiers with her, and that's how the movie ends. So yeah. In this one, it's like Umbrella continues.
It's Jill, and Leon's going to be in it for the first time, I think, and also, like, Ada Wong.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. It's, like, it's so deviating away from anything from what we heard from the games.
Yeah.
No, what are you saying?
I was gonna say, and also, Michelle Rodriguez is somehow back.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is this, like, an alternate reality? Are they rebooting it during the series? Like,
I don't...
Because, okay, if you remember, like...
It looks like hell took over Earth or something. It's just like there's like winged demons flying around and stuff.
Yeah, things are on fire.
Yeah,
like there are demons. I'm like, okay, well, if you remember in the third movie, did you see the third movie where they're in the desert?
I know the gist of it.
Right, it's like they're in Vegas, so they're like the
there's like
lower...
some sort of like nuclear apocalypse or something that happened.
They're just bombings. I forgot why.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's like I expect the whole world to be in chaos because like in the third movie it's like Mad Max where. You know, you get a bunch of survivors driving around.
Yeah, but then the fourth one is like, nope, there's still, like, giant high-tech facilities everywhere and shit.
I saw part of the fourth one. I didn't see a lot of
it. Yeah, I've seen parts of it, too.
Yeah, I can't, that's what I'm trying to piece together. How do I go from, like, a hellish wasteland that's, like, Mad Max style to, like, high-tech walls and stuff and like, guess, security and, like, how's their order? Oh, well.
I guess according to, like, the official plot synopsis, like, Alice gets, like, taken to, like, the like, main Umbrella facility or something in this one.
Then, like, then they're back in, like, East Coast because it's, like, they're at the White House and then they're defending things and they're, like, they're taking back cities. I'm like, what?
It's, damn it. It's, like, weird, like, just, like, armada of, like, the tilt-rotor planes.
Yes, the like dual helicopter.
That's thing. Like they're like the new, you know how like every movie was obsessed with like Predator drones, and like for a while.
It was Blackhawks, Predator drones, and now
it's
like
tilt rotors. Yeah.
Yeah, tilt rotors, and it's like, I get it. Remember that it was featured in Transformers.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, that was cool.
There's some other movie. I think Modern Warfare 3 had like a ton of tilt rotors too.
Yeah, but that was just transport. They actually didn't focus on them so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. But
they're all over the place.
Yeah. Goddamn.
The new hotness.
It's just a fucking helicopter.
Basically, yeah. It's a plane. It's like Mask. It's a plane helicopter.
It does vertical lifts, but it has the speed of like a small jet. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's coming out in this winter, I think. I think we said it before. This is like fucking merged Underworld and Resident Evil with like one shitty super franchise or something.
Yeah, I Underworld. I can't believe like Kate Beckinsale's like, I'll do another. Like, why?
Because it made like $24 million or something. Surprisingly.
God damn it! Who's really? I understand it's great because it's not like a Twilight-esque thing with vampires and has guns and werewolves and they're actually doing actiony stuff. But
yeah,
they're all shit since like. They're very stupidly convoluted for no reason.
Oh, my, yeah, from like 1 to 2, there's like, 2 is like so stupidly complex.
There's like...
Or just like all like the bloodline histories and shit that's going on.
Right, and it's like, oh, you gotta pay attention to small details, understand why certain characters are like...
You have the medallion, you have the medallion of this family that lets you unlock this crypt that goes into this bloodline, and this bloodline is like the secret of the
purest vampire. And, yeah. Oh, if you mix like vampire blood into werewolf blood, you get either like a really super hybrid or you get like a mega hybrid.
Like, yeah. Oh. And there's also like the one guy like came back and like drank his blood and then she got like superpowers from his blood or something. She got like
she drank pure blood or something. So yeah. She got like stand a the sunlight.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's... Why do I know this? Like, it's so useless. And then, like, in this movie, they find, like, another person in the world.
It's 12 years after Evolution.
Right. Well, what's this one called again?
Awakening.
And it's like they find, like, a small girl who's, like, even more powerful than anything they fought before.
Yeah, and humans know about them now, so, like,
yeah,
they're just constantly them all down.
You know who did this well? Blade. Blade did this well. Blade did it very... Not sexy. I mean, Kate Beckinsale in a leather type like cat suit. Fuck yeah. Plus, these types the same thing. Not the same.
I love like the trailers for Underworld Awakening. It's just like Kate Beckinsale in 3D.
You know, maybe. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, why?
Yeah, Blade should just come in and just like destroy all these vampire movies.
Blade did it, and he did it. One man army style.
Yeah.
And you need like death dealers and shit like that and
all you need was Chris Christopherson to like make him crazy weapons, that was it.
Yep.
Then you just like go out and just murder nightclubs full of vampires.
I mean, at least Blade 3, it's like some people don't like it, but it's different and it was funny and it was
they're fighting Dracula.
They're fighting the original Dracula for some strange reason.
Yeah. Wasn't he they call himself Drac or something?
Drake.
Drake, or... yeah. Yo, I'm Drake now. it's the 2000s. I gotta update my style. And was it like the dude from Prison Break or something?
Yep.
Dominic Purcell or whatever his name is.
Dude from Prison Break. and
that weird Primeval movie where he's like hunting serial killers and there's like an alligator for some reason.
He was in there?
Yeah, he was in that movie. I think he was like the lead reporter or something.
Huh.
Anyway, other news from last week. There's a rumor going around that if it's true, it's like one of the most awesome things I've ever heard. But Rocksteady, the guys who made arguably one of the best games of last year, Batman Arkham City, also Arkham Asylum, their next game might be a Ninja Turtles game.
Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. And like, so like four-player co-op, super gritty, like basically like the original comic sensibilities.
Psychopaths, yeah. Yeah.
Going on, you like fight Shredder, and like there's like flashbacks of like Orokosaki and like Splinter before he was turned into a rat. And there's like a turtle van and turtle blimper in it, and it's just like, my mind is floating from like all the awesome stuff that they said it was.
Either way, it's always good to hear new Teenage Mutant Turtle material. Yeah. But I prefer if they went with a gritty route. If they do with a cartoony, what like the kids are used, like when I was. Again, I was introduced with the cartoon, then the comic. Then the comic, like, blew me away for, like, forever for how, like, gory and how, like, messed up the world is in that sense. But, either way, like, I played the last generation Teenage Mutant Turtle, like, games.
Oh, yes.
I forced you to play it, too. I forced you to play, like, through one of the season arc games. Which they're fun. They're amazing.
Unlike the most disappointing port of the original arcade game ever.
Yeah. Well, you unlocked it by beating the game and then getting it, and then...
Yeah, and all the sound effects were wrong, and it was like...
The color scheme is awful. I know, but like, that, you're just nitpicking the gritty. But like, you know, this cartoon series started like in the late 70s in the comic book form. Okay, like mid-80s, but like the concept in comics was like late 70s, early 80s.
No, it was like, you know. It was like mid-80s, like when when Frank Miller's Daredevil came out, it was like a couple months after that.
Okay, so...
Basically, it was a parody of Daredevil to start out with.
Yeah, I think so. I gotta read that again, but... It was
Daredevil and Ronin, I think. Like, Frank Miller's Ronin.
And it was Ronin, and then Daredevil. And then it was the,
Yeah.
Because they copied the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see more material of it. Like, it's good for another generation. It's good for... Like, keeping violence in Turtles.
Yes.
Like, I'm all for that.
Like, even if it was, like, more toward, like, the, like, TMNT, the CG movie, like, that was still pretty freaking gritty. It was safe for kids, but it was also, like, it had some, like, awesome, like, crazy action in it.
I wasn't too big about the whole demon hunter catching
thing. No, but, like, I don't think, you can't deny that, like, the... Leo Raff like rain battle was like awesome.
You really liked that scene, didn't you?
Yes, that scene was fucking awesome.
All right.
Well, also like Raff as like the weird like motorcycle vigilante.
I forgot what his name was.
And like Leonardo's like in like the jungles of South America as like the predator, basically just like killing drug dealers.
It's not really killing, just scaring, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just scaring or like beating them up or something.
In the comic, he probably would have been killing. But...
Yeah, I think that was like a mini series or something of like. The comic was like Leonardo was like went off and disappeared.
It was a like the comic series. It's definitely more like if you love this series and you want to hear like really weird stories and like adult themes, the comic series is where it's at because they actually had an arc where future Leonardo went back to the past to recruit different phases of himself to take on an enemy.
Yeah,
it's really weird, but like he gets like. Time traveling ability, so he recruits like younger versions of himself, and they go take on like a super villain in the future. And it's like it's crazy because you know it's like oh it's like all these like heavy themes that they deal with because like he falls in love with a character in the future and she dies and he like doesn't tell certain characters of the past that like you'll meet a woman and like you don't want to change the future blah blah.
Yeah,
it's really heavy for like a kid's show, but it's great for like a comic. Of course, like, the game won't feature that, but it's good that, like, hey, maybe for me in the future, maybe in the next 10 years, I'll see that.
Well, I get some, like, the rumored details of it. It's like, so all four turtles will be playable. There's going to be flashbacks with Metro Splinter. It's going to be gameplay and story is going to be the same, similar to Batman Arkham City. It's going to use Arkham City's graphics engine. It's going to be more dark than slapstick. Turtle Van and Turtle Blimp are going to be included, and the bosses will be Bebop, Rocksteady, Dr. Beck, Dr. Stockman, Shredder, and Krang.
Hmm. Well, see, when they introduce Krang, they're definitely going to go with the cartoon series universe first.
Yeah.
Because Krang was not
in the comic. They've never done, like, a gritty, like, Krang.
Well, because he was just a ball of, like, brain matter.
Like, I haven't even seen, like, a, like, fan, like, like, gritty reimagining of, like, Krang.
I mean, I like the Obatron that they try to have in the second generation cartoon series where, like, Shredder was an Obatron.
Yeah.
And then, because he was, like, Krang and Shredder mixed into one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, a sort of attempt at it, but people didn't like it, you know? I don't know.
If it just took, like, Arkham City's, like, fight mechanics... That would be awesome, awesome already. Just because that's like one of the best like fight systems ever.
Yeah, I hands down, it's one of the best. Like, okay, I can take on like 30 guys with confidence.
Yeah, like if you just like that's like taking like 30 foot soldiers or Foot Clan guys at one time, that'd be crazy.
I played Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum in detective mode a lot, so it's like,
Turtle. You have, like, turtle vision.
Turtle sense, yeah, the turtle vision.
Donatello makes some, like, night vision goggles or something. Turtle goggles.
I mean, I use less, I mean, only when I explore the city in Arkham City, because I know, like, during the fight, it's, like, not really a point to have the Batman sense on.
I only use, like, detective vision for, like, the Predator missions or Predators things.
Right. Yeah, I can see where that.
Just because, yeah, you can keep track of, like, every single guy at one time. But anyway, yeah, if that's true, like, that'd be amazing. So, then, other news, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Thursday, but this weekend, The Gray is coming out with Liam Neeson versus Wolves.
Which, fuck you, nature.
Hopefully it'll be awesome. But there's another man versus animal movie in the works with, Tom Jane, James Marsden, and Billy Bob Thornton called Red Machine. And it's them versus a bear.
See, like, that movie was made.
What? I feel like... The Edge?
Yes. You know what I'm talking about, too. Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins. They take on a fucking bear for, like, the whole movie.
Yep. Anthony Hopkins is, like, the crazy, like, rich billionaire guy.
And Alec Baldwin's, like, his wife's lover?
Well, I think that they went up to the, like, freaking Alaska because, like, they're doing, like, because, like, Anthony Hopkins is, like, married to, like, Elle McPherson or something. So, like, they're doing, like, a photo shoot up there or something. And, like, Alec Baldwin is, like, the photographer.
I thought he was having an affair, too.
He might have been. I know, like, the whole ball down, like, basically toward the end, he's like, man, if I kill you, I can get your money. I'll make it look like the bear did it.
How would the photographer inherit the dude's money?
I don't know. I think he was just, like, insane at that point. They're, like, they've been in the woods for, like days getting chased by a bear. I don't think he's thinking very clearly, but...
Well, see, movies like that, always a main character gets killed by the animal.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember The Ghosts in the Darkness? Val Kilmer, Michael Douglas?
Yeah, The Ghosts, yes.
Michael Douglas got killed.
The killer lion.
By a fucking lion in Africa. So.
Val Kilmer with his crazy British accent.
Yeah. Oi. The Ghosts in the Darkness, really cool title. Shit movie.
Yeah. Oi, we're building this railroad through Africa.
We're pissing off the wildlife.
Yeah, but, so Red Machine, I guess Tom Jane and James Marsden are going to be, like, brothers who are, like, estranged, but they go to, like, they're going camping to, like, sort of, like, mend their relationship, but then they get attacked by this legendary grizzly bear called the Red Machine.
Oh.
And then Billy Bob Thornton shows up as, like, this, like, legendary bear hunter.
Like,
so sort of like Michael Douglas in Ghost in the Darkness, basically.
Yeah, but Michael Douglas is terrible at his job because he got eaten.
Yeah.
Because he was like a bad Muldoon.
He was worse than Muldoon, yeah. I don't even, like, did he even, like, talk a big, like, he didn't even, like, talk a big game like Muldoon did.
Yeah, but Muldoon was just, like, a dude who spent a lot of time in, like, North Africa or something.
Yeah.
And then it's
ran, like, the crazy, like, game preserve.
I know, but like, it's hunted, like,
lions and shit.
Yeah, but think about this. It's like, there's nothing qualifies you to be a warden of dinosaurs. You
know? Yeah.
It's not like a lion, you know? It's a fucking dinosaur. It's like, I'm in charge. I've got no experience handling dinosaurs. Experience handling tigers. So, not the same.
Kinda. Tigers can't open doors, but...
But, you know, raptors can find you, like, in kitchens, and they can figure out locks. Oh, man.
I mean, speaking of tigers and man versus animal movies quick, have you seen the Gary Busey movie where, like, he fights, like, a fucking tiger? Where he's, like,
no.
He's, like, the sheriff of, like, this, like...
Oh, wait, you talked about this one time ago. And it's, like, the community's hunted by, like, a fucking cougar or something.
No, there's a tiger this guy's drunk driving, like, he's, like, carrying, like, a tiger for, like, a circus, and he crashes, and the tiger gets loose. And then, like, there's a kid who, like, dreams about the tiger and, like, goes out and, like, has, like, the psychic link with the tiger. And then, like, this, like, crazy British guy from India comes and, like, he's like, I'm the world's greatest tiger hunter.
And is he bad at his job, too?
Yeah, he's horrible at his job, too, yeah.
So remember, like, anytime you see, like, an expert of an animal, they usually die. Like, they're...
Because they have, like... Because of their hubris. They're overconfident that they know the animal better than anyone.
Like, do you remember Jaws 3D?
Yeah.
And there was that shark hunter dude, yep. And then he gets killed in the little vent room
by
the giant Jaws. And
well, in the freaking first one, like, Richard Dreyfuss gets murdered by Jaws.
Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah. He's like Matt Hooper or whatever. He comes in and, like, I know sharks.
I'm thinking about a different Dreyfuss, the other guy.
What other guy?
The dude that works with Brody?
Yeah, that's the guy.
No, he lived.
Did he? I can't. I thought he'd get that.
It's the other dude, the Hunter.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was like, yeah, he was super.
That Hunter. Dude. That guy's like, charge you 100 for the fin.
Yeah.
50 for the whole thing. Quinn. And they go on his boat. Quinn, that's it.
Yeah.
And then Quinn fucked up because he fell into the Jaws' mouth.
Yep.
So again, every time you're in a situation and an expert shows up, he's the first one or third one to die.
That should be I'm going to put that down for like a list. Top five worst animal experts in movies or something. So last bit of news for this week is that just an update for a story we talked about last week, which is Expendables 2 possibly being PG-13. That is confirmed. My only hope is that they push the PG-13 as far as they can go.
I hope there's like a R version, unrated version on DVD.
I'm sure there will be.
It's like, how do you make an action-packed movie and you neuter it?
There's gonna be like, there's gonna be no blood, which is like, that was like the funnest part of the first one, which is like the crazy violence. Of like, within 5 minutes, Dolph Lundgren like blew a man apart with a grenade launcher.
Boring shot.
Little bit low. So it's just me like, it's like dudes like falling and like bloodless like squibs going off.
I'm trying to think what action-packed PG-13 movie I've seen in a while.
Well, I know a lot of people say like Dark Knight is like weirdly bloodless for like the amount of like horrible stuff that happens in that movie.
Yeah, but everything happens off screen, like shots are zoomed in on the guy shooting it. They can't do that for a fast-paced movie like this, where like every time someone shoots a gun to someone, like they zoom in on the guy's face.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of like guys getting shot, but there's like no blood, like the bank manager in the beginning, or like just random people getting shot in that movie.
Mm.
Or like Live Free or Die Hard, they have like no blood in the unrated version.
I didn't see the unrated version, so I can't say that. But, I mean, there was one or two cool parts of, like, you know that dude McClane fights in, like, the cooling room? And he falls into, like, the fan?
Mm-hmm.
There was some blood there, wasn't there?
It might have been. I mean, you can go pretty far, I think, with the PG-13. Because, like, America has this weird thing, like, they don't care about violence, they care about, like, sex and language.
True.
Like, freaking, like, Captain America last year, like, the guy got thrown into a fucking propeller, and, like, you saw every little bit of it.
Really? I forgot.
Yeah, like he got
Near the end.
Yeah,
the
right? Got thrown into the propeller and just like the entire propeller just turned to like red.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not gonna be like crazy violence in the first one, but I mean, hopefully they like make up for it with like ridiculousness or something.
Well, they can't have more sex because none of it was in the first one.
Yeah, I don't remember them swearing that much either in the first one, did they?
Yeah, there was a few. Every time there was,
I'm sure Jason Statham or something said like,
not Lee Christmas. It was the black guy's
Terry Crews name.
Yeah, but his character.
Yeah.
Well, his character's person.
Oh God, what was it? Hail Caesar.
Yeah, every time he was on screen when he wasn't normally talking, when he was screaming, he was cursing.
Remember this shit, Christmas.
Yeah, when he had that explosive shell shotgun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say shit as many times as you want in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
I think you get like one non-sexual fuck too.
Well, remember like, you have to use it First Class.
Yeah, yeah. You have to use it as like an expletive. You can't like use it as like a sexual term. So you have to say, you can say like, oh, this fucking sucks, or fuck you, but you can't say like, I'm going to fuck her.
See this? I'm going to fuck it.
Yep. So that's it for news. So I'll get to the news roundup. We can wrap this thing up for the week.
Okay.
A little bit better than last week in terms of news roundup. Pick of the week is Real Steel, Rocky with Robots.
Rock 'em, sock 'em.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman, speaking of Wolverine and X-Men First Class.
Hugh Jackman on the road to being a better father.
Yes. Through robots destroying each other.
You know, in all the movies I've seen Hugh Jackman raising a child, I remember Swordfish. Remember that he, like, raised a daughter?
He had a kid in that movie?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
That was the plot of Swordfish, was trying to get back together with his daughter. And in this movie, it's like him trying to get back together, trying to connect with his son.
Yeah.
Is he a single dad, or is he just a shit father?
I think the mom died. The mom died, like, off camera, like, before the movie started. So, like, that's why, like, Hugh Jackson's, like, the only, like, is, like, they, like, find him to, like, get him into, like, court. So, like, figure out, like, who will be the guardian of the kid.
Because,
like, the aunt wants to adopt the kid, too. Because Hugh Jackman is like, yeah, you're pregnant. I'm just going to run off. And good luck with the kid. So, also, we have 50-50.
Oh, man.
Cancer comedy.
And we say that lovingly. We don't say that jokingly. Mean way, but this movie takes itself kind of not serious. Yeah. I mean, it does, and it doesn't, and it does. That's what I like about it.
Yeah. Wait, you actually saw it, Chris?
No, but I heard good things about it.
You know, it's got some good scenes. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really awesome.
Like, I heard reviews from people, like, who are affected by cancer that they're like, it's not like they're moaning about it for, like, a whole 90 minutes, so.
No. I've heard, like, it's realistic, like, dealing, like, it's funny, but it's, like, also realistic.
Yeah. I mean, I think, do you remember that movie, The Kids Are All Right?
Yeah.
That movie pissed off so many people when that movie, like, came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, fuck you, like, you're ruining the name of the lesbian gay community. Like, so, I'll catch it. I'll definitely catch that movie one day.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely on, like, a lot of people's, like, top 10 lists for the year, last year.
Mm.
Also, Paranormal Activity 3 out this
week.
So, wait, you were the one who hated it, right, Chris? And Joe? Yeah, no,
me and Joe hated it.
I thought, when you guys put it as, like, your, like, honorable mentions or something.
Well, we mentioned that it's, like, one or two good funny scenes, like, good scary scenes, but the whole overarching plot was just confusing and annoying.
Yeah.
It's like a movie you watch one time with people, yeah, and you, like, drink during it. You don't, like, sit there and try to, like, learn from it.
I say go back and listen to the whatever episode we talked about it, where, like, we just went on for, like, 10 minutes about the weird Wiccan, weird witch grandma and stuff.
Witch grandma Wiccan and her, like, book club meeting.
Yeah.
How if you're, like, a male in that movie, you always get fucked with.
Yeah. Did you hear about Paranormal Activity, the chronology?
No. Didn't you say, like, they want to put all the movies together in order?
I think it's actually already, you can, like, rent it on iTunes. It's, like, so I guess, it goes, like, Paranormal Activity 3, Paranormal Activity 2, or, like, part of 2, or, like, it's, like, part of 2, then, like, part of 1, and, like, it goes, or, like, it's, like, Paranormal Activity 3, beginning of 2, and it's, like, end of 3, or, like, all of 1, and, like, back to 2 or something, I don't know.
Well, 3, the beginning of 3 starts at the middle of 2.
Yes, yeah, so I think they chopped that off and put it, like, somewhere toward the middle of the movie.
Yeah, but then
a super long movie.
But then it's even more confusing because just, you don't know why you're watching 3 at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, why would they do this? This is the worst idea of a, like, of storytelling. You know, it's kind of like, there's no way. Because again, you don't know how you're watching this video. It's supposed to be a found footage thing. So, weird. That's why I like 1. 1 is pretty concise. It's like, we found this video, here it is. 2 is like, well, we found another video, and for some strange reason, they filmed themselves watching the first video. It's like, what? And 3 is just even weirder. 3 is like, some scene from the second movie
Yeah.
And then it cuts to, like, this movie, and there's no, like, credits or anything.
We found
just,
this
like,
box of VHS tapes.
Not even that. That's just,
no,
that's, like...
No, it's like, the VHS tapes got fucking stolen by someone.
Yeah, and then it cuts away to, like, a static screen.
So apparently apparently it's like you are the guy who stole the tapes or something. Or like...
Yeah, I don't... What?
I don't know.
But yeah, definitely hate that movie.
Okay. Good to know. We also have Godzilla joined the Criterion Collection this week. The original classic.
The Japanese edition or the American edition?
You get both.
Or even the American remake.
No, that is not in the Criterion Collection.
Gojira!
Gojira. Gojira. It's Godzilla. It's Gojira, you idiot! Man, that movie's so horrible. Another classic genre no role.
Random French something role like John Reno's
like
in.
French special forces or something. Like French, France is like this weird like Godzilla task force thing.
Yeah. Oh man, and they just want to keep like the dirty French secrets to themselves.
Yeah, like apparently France is like the only country that knows that they created like this giant radioactive iguana.
I feel like the reasoning was, oh yeah, we like to bomb on our own land. We like to test our own soil, and we lost track of a French, giant lizard.
Like, France, it was like a French-owned island that they tested on. It was like French Polynesia or something that they tested nuclear weapons on.
And,
had to be like an iguana nest there.
I mean, but the swimming distance from France to America, like, you have to hit, like, other countries.
Well,
so
Godzilla started... He went from, like, French Polynesia to, like, Japan or something, and then, like, across to... Well, I mean, he would have to go, like, all the way around South America or something.
Yeah, it's just the way he traveled, his flight plan was weird, and it's like... No one's gonna notice, like, a big monster.
Well, actually, he cut across, like, some country, because there's that part where they have to, like, go and, like, investigate, like, the giant footprints.
Forgot about that. I haven't watched the movie in a while, so.
Yeah.
I really like their Doritos campaign they had.
Or the Taco Bell campaign. It was like one of the most hyped movies of all time. They had like every
Puffy music for that music video.
Yep. Oh my god, that entire soundtrack. It was like the Green Day remix. It was like Brain Stew remix with like all they added was like Godzilla roars into it.
Okay, I gotta YouTube that later.
Wait, I might have to do that for musical montage. The Godzilla soundtrack. But yeah, Godzilla, Criterion Collection. Blu-ray. I'm sure it's like an awesome transfer of it. Then also on Blu-ray, we have a bunch of Woody Allen and Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Because, you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. So for Hitchcock, you can get Notorious, Rebecca, and Spellbound on Blu-ray. Those are the solid, like, B-level Hitchcock movies. They're not the, like, the heavy hitters.
I've seen his heavy hitters. I haven't seen his, like...
Those are the lesser-known Hitchcock movies. Mm-hmm. And then
they're good movies, I bet, but yeah. I just haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm. They're no Psycho or Birds or Vertigo or... Rear Window.
The Gentleman Prefer Blondes.
That is not a Hitchcock movie.
It should be. It's a good movie.
And then for Woody Allen, we have Annie Hall and Manhattan on Blu-ray.
Didn't Annie Hall beat Star Wars in like the release?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I remember that. Annie Hall, when Star Wars came out. And
opening weekend gross or something?
Yep.
That's weird.
Because people were like, it was like 1974, and it was like Annie Hall of Star Wars.
Just Woody Allen. Who cares about these star things? Also, we have Ancient Aliens Season 3. The History Channel show, It Never Dies.
Well, that's still around?
Like, I can see like one special, just like, did aliens visit us in the past? It's like, how do you feel 3 seasons of show about that?
I forgot, like, which ones, because it's always, like, weird sighting shows. It's like, look at these lights in the sky. Like,
well, this one is, like, okay. Could aliens be the source of our myths? Like, the myth of Greek myth or something? Like, or, like, could the things in the Bible be aliens? Did aliens build Stonehenge?
I feel like I've seen specials on these, like, but never, like, a show.
It's also, like, there's, like, a, like, weird, like, they look like, ancient, like, hieroglyphics and stuff, and, like, symbols, and it's, like, is this the evidence of UFOs and aliens? And there's always, like...
Quick, break out your decoder rings, maybe we'll find the secret.
I think they have, they always have, like, same, like, weird expert guy, too, like, he has, like, crazy hair. And he's, like...
Oh, that dude.
Yeah, and he's from, like, some weird, like, university you never heard of. I got a doctorate in UFOlogy.
And my associate's degree in fixing radiators.
Yeah. Also, there's World War II in 3D. On Blu-ray 3D.
Oh, God.
Which apparently is, like, World War II footage, like, converted to 3D. I guess there's also, like, a weird, like, Nazi 3D movie, like, propaganda movie that they made.
Like, just propaganda that was like, there and they like put the, together?
Like
or
Nazis,
they
I guess the Nazis made, like, a 3D propaganda movie.
In, like, the 1940s?
Yeah.
Okay, those are, like, real new ones, like, neo-Nazi footage, like, ugh.
So, yeah, so that's, I think, I don't know if it's, like, World War II in HD, just in Blu-ray, like, in 3D now, but, or if it's just, like, some new thing, but, if you want some World War II 3D action, that's out. Also on Blu-ray, Stir Crazy, the Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor prison classic.
I always confuse which one they are in. It's either the one they're in prison or the one they're deaf and blind.
Stir Crazy.
I think See No Evil is the one I'm talking about.
See No Evil? And last thing out this week is The Confession, which is the web series that starred Kiefer Sutherland and John Hurt that was on Hulu. Now it's on DVD if you want to watch the whole thing. Not on the internet. It was pretty awesome, so I would say definitely check it out. Especially if you want like a Jack Bauer fix since 24 has been off the air.
Yeah, but now that it's that new show where it's Jack Bauer-esque.
I like that he's like fighting terror, like he's still fighting terrorists for like some reason, even though he's like trying to like reconnect with his kids, there's like a terrorist plot going on.
It's like math and terrorism and Danny Glover. Yep.
That was actually, like, I think it was, like, just ended, like, a half hour ago, like, the preview. So, yeah, that's it for New Reese's. So, anything else you want to talk about, Chris, before we wrap this thing up?
No, I think we're good. We tangent enough.
Okay. So, if you want more from us, more episodes of the podcast or anything else, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. For news, features, reviews, there's reviews of Contraband and Haywire up on the site, if you want to read those. My thoughts on those. Musical montage this week. It's a doozy. It's Straight to My Feet by Hammer and Deion Sanders from the Street Fighter, the movie soundtrack.
Oh my god.
That actually, like, Van Damme is in it. Wes Tootie is in it. Like, all the bad guys are in it. Especially for, like, the guy who played DJ.
They're, like, at a bar?
Yeah, it's like a shadowy bar that, like, Hammer and Deion Sanders are at. Like, playing... doing their song at, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, the bad guys from Street Fighter show up and, like, break up the party. So, like, Hammer and Van Damme, like, stare them down.
And they, like, leave.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's, like,
I forgot.
It's, like, one of the most 90s thing you will ever see in your life. Because, like, Van Damme, Hammer, Deion Sanders, Street Fighter...
Isn't, like, the background of the bar playing clips of the movie, too?
It might be. I don't know. I know Van Damme's just, like, there drinking, like, just, like, hanging out with Hammer at, like, this table, and then, like...
Deion Sanders.
Featuring Deion Sanders. I also think, like, Blackstreet is there, too, or something, doing, like, backup vocals. Or maybe, like, Belle Biv DeVoe.
I forgot. I haven't seen this music video in years.
It is, like... It's the perfect, like, compliment to an already like wonderfully awful movie as a wonderfully awful music video.
It's everything about that thing is awful, though. The song makes no sense.
The best kind of awful, though, Chris.
Yes, it is. It's such an insanity mess because they're like, why are they all hanging out? And then it's like, why are these cosplayers in here now?
Why is Deion Sanders a singer?
And like, I feel like the song is not like Street Fighter. Yeah, go Street Fighter. It's like a love ballad.
It's like straight to my feet.
Yeah,
it's like the 90s club jam.
Oh man.
Yes, definitely check that out. And I know a bunch of other awesome stuff is up on there. Definitely www.everythingextra.com. Definitely head over there. Check out all our stuff that we got going on. We're on Facebook also. We're at facebook.com/everything.action. You can see news stories from the site as they go up. You can comment and like them on there. We also put a bunch of news stories we find from around the web. Just during the week, we put them up on the Facebook page, so you can check them out there. And we're also on Twitter. Twitter.com/EVAction is our Twitter account. You can follow us on there, see news stories from the site as they go up. We retweet a bunch of news stories from other Twitter accounts, funny stuff we find. Sometimes we live vlog movies. Sometimes we just like, I don't know what else is on there, but a bunch of good stuff on the Twitter account. And we're also on iTunes if you want to go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the Podcast Center, rate us, leave comments, review us. Also, there's an app you can get for your iPhone or iPod Touch, and it gives you the last 20 news stories on the site. And you can listen to the podcast, and it's also free, so definitely check that out. And you can send us email at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.